baby, how you like.
Once again, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. How are you, folks? Thanks for joining me. Tim Linnefeld's going to be with us for an extended edition of the Linnefeld Sports Report. Our very own Hannah Keating was at the game as well. And then in our second hour, we'll have Drew Tillman with us for the entire hour. So stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. For accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
No.
If Santa missed something on your list, get it now at Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale on Mahan Drive.
Stop right there. Hi, I'm Joe Doty. If you're like me, don't just drive a truck, you want to truck it up.
Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale, going on now. You could save hundreds of dollars on items throughout the store.
Truck it up, Tallahassee.
Save on audio systems, security systems, lights, and accessories. Save on DVD, TV packages, specially priced this week only. Or a keyless entry system this week only. Save $30. Or complete bed protection packages with bed liner, bed caps, and tailgate cap, specially priced only $2.99. $9.95 this week only.
Don't take chances. Our professional installers do it right the first time.
Truck and Car Concepts New Year's Sale going on now. 1/2 mile east of Capitol Circle Northeast, just off Weems Road. Call 656-8800. 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Glad you are here. So we're talking about what's going on in the news this week. Record low temperatures. That's been remarkable. A national championship game, BCS championship, with Florida State and Auburn scoring off out there in Pasadena. Certainly one of the most historic matchups and classic in many ways. A nail biter for most of us, but at the end, BCS championship team emerged under the banner of Florida State University. So, congratulations, of course, to the Seminoles, to the Seminole Nation, and also kudos to Auburn for a well played game. What a great team they are! If you didn't catch any of that, I'm sure you have access through various means. But if you want to know what really was going on behind the scenes, be sure to stay tuned with us here in this first hour, and we'll have more of that for you with Tim and with Hannah. Elsewhere around town this week, lots of interesting things happening. By the way, do you know the Brugger's is closing up there at Carriage Gate? That's going to put a lot of people on notice. For their part, Brugger's has been a great little spot there for a breakfast meeting, but they're closing their doors over there at Carriage Gate, and find out more about where they're headed. Folks over there at FAMU have a new president. Elmira Mangum is the new president, 11th president for Flora A&M, and that all happened again as part of this week's occurrences. Jernigan, the Florida State University's Timmy Jernigan has decided to go pro, so he's confirmed that he's going to take off his final season at Florida State and enter the 2014 NFL draft. And that came up according to ESPN.com in a report that they filed earlier. Let's see. Bethel AME is hosting a forum today on the Affordable Care Act. So if you want to learn more about that, that's a good thing to take note of. Lots of other things happening around the community in terms of arts and entertainment. And by the way, we're just about to enter the 2014 season of 7 days of opening nights, beginning with Itzhak Perlman, who will be performing on the 29th. Incidentally, that concert is sold out. But 7 days continues through the month of April, so lots of good performances are up ahead, including Kathy Matea, Johnny Lang is going to be here, Pancho Sanchez and his Latin jazz band will be here February the 12th. That's a very cool show. So lots of things happening there with Florida State. 7 days of opening nights. Make sure you take notice of that. You can find out more about what's going on around town if you will consult our website. Go to the community page, and you'll see there we've got a number of activities listed with the community calendars that we like you to be in touch with, including Tally Connect, the tallyconnection.com provided by FSU Credit Union. Be sure to check them out. That's a great opportunity to learn what's going on around town. Folks, with that, I want to tell you, we are pleased to have Hannah Keating join us. She is an associate producer, new to the show, and we want to welcome her. She has an opportunity to tell us about the game in Pasadena. So let's welcome Hannah Keating.
Hannah, we are glad you're here.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
How fun that Hannah has joined us with a number of different things in mind, not the least of which we're going to have, again, the events in a minute. So I know she'll be bringing us that. And in her own way, giving us a perspective on some of the stories that we talk about from time to time, doing some street reports for us, getting out there among all of you. So you'll be looking for Hannah Keating. She'll have her microphone in hand and be looking to get you to talk to us. And now you had an opportunity to do just that with your visit to a little place called the Rose Bowl. You were at the game. And you were you with the Florida State fans? Where were you sitting?
I was actually on the Auburn side.
Ah,
so that was an experience.
Perfect.
There was my group about 10, and then there was a few Florida State fans scattered among me. So I had my family close to me, kind
some
of.
Insulation.
But let me tell you, those Auburn fans are so nice.
Really?
We were just as nice, so it was a great atmosphere. We were all just wanting a great game, and that's what we got.
Look at
so.
That. You had the chance then, while you were on site, to talk with a few folks about their expectations for the game. What was that like?
It was great. The atmosphere was wonderful. I mainly talked to a lot of Florida State fans because I had my Florida State colors on. So they were all expecting a huge blowout, and they were all excited to be there. They made some comments about how Tallahassee folk are a little bit nicer than California folk. But overall, they were expecting a good game, but expecting a blowout and hoping for a victory.
Very cool. You brought back with you some of those outtakes, some of the sound bites. So, Carl, why don't you bring us that now?
How is the atmosphere here in Pasadena different from the atmosphere in Tallahassee?
As it's a huge game because it's a national championship. So,
it's going to be a blowout for sure. Florida State all the way.
Oh, it's just awesome. Totally unexpected to be this successful this year with Winston doing his thing, coming out and being as great as he is with the rest of the team.
FSU all the way. Go Noles.
Go Noles. Well, there you have it.
Then again, the game itself is unmatched in my recent history. I mean, recollection of other games that were that close. And my goodness, I mean, even if you weren't rooting for either team, if you were sort of neutral, you got yourself your money's worth, it seems to me. It was a nail biter, wasn't it?
Yes, and I actually met some neutral fans, and they said we paid and we got our money's worth. So it was just as exciting for a neutral fan.
You got some other clips from that. Let's listen to some of the post-game commentary that Hannah was able to bring back to us.
The game is officially over, and Florida State has won the national championship.
It was a great day. We had a lot of good entertainment. All of the fans on both sides were very cordial and fun.
So we're New Yorkers, we're very neutral. It was exciting up until the very last second, which is why we come to bowl games.
Great football game, and I just wish Texas Tech was here.
So there you go, folks. A great report, Anna. Good effort on your first contribution to Tallahassee Talks. Way to go.
Thank you.
So we had a win for Florida State University, and Hannah Keating, who is an associate producer with the show, welcoming her as part of the team and looking forward to lots more. She'll be here from time to time, not only with these kinds of reports, but she'll be bringing us events in a minute, and we'll be learning all about those activities going on around town. Hannah, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Wooden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Whidden is known for taking care of business. Whidden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
He is our very own sports reporter, sports editor, Tallahassee Talks. Tim Linnefeld is here in the studio. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. Fighting off this cold that I think I caught on an airplane or something. But other than that, I'm hanging tough.
What an amazing week it has been. The BCS Championship being blazoned across the airwaves and the various sporting news sources. And what a battle. And here we are a week ago, or almost a week ago now. And you were at the big game reporting on behalf of Osceola, the fine publication that it is. And for those of you who don't know, Tim is the editor-in-chief for Osceola, a local publication all about Seminole athletics. And I understand you got a commemorative issue coming out shortly that'll be hitting the press or hitting the newsstands.
It should be a lot of fun. Look back on all the highlights of the season, and certainly not very many lowlights for this season at all. So we'll be loaded with photos and columns and stories, and really kind of try to tell the story of was maybe the most memorable, most remarkable season in school history.
It seems to be.
It's been fun to work on and kind of get through everything in the last couple of months, and
including the celebration that's happening today.
That will be
Doak
in there
Campbell
today.
Stadium.
That'll be in there today, and that should be a pretty fun scene as well.
Folks, I mean, the Osceola is a great publication. If you're not familiar with it, be sure to check it out. It'll be at a local newsstand. You can subscribe to it, have it delivered right to your doorstep, or you can pick it up around town. But here we have Tim all to ourselves, who graciously provides the Tim or the Linnefeld Sports Report, and Tim has been doing that dutifully all through the last 3 years. And, we're beginning in February our fourth season. Can you believe
that?
Is that
right?
Yeah. It's been an amazing ride so far.
Where are our lives going, Brian?
Hard to believe. yours is on the way up. I don't know about that.
I certainly hope so.
You're in the right place at the right time. And
if I can get out of my own way.
For my part, no, that's my line. For my part, I'm over here just trying to stay on mic and not get too distracted. If you think about where we were, even halfway through the season. And we had these conversations on and off, the famous Jameis and all of that. And this is all prior to, controversial headlines and alleged charges being filed and this kind of jazz. This was just about a young guy.
Yeah.
And I mean a young guy, 19-year-old, redshirt freshman, right?
Yeah,
Who steps up to the plate up to the goal line.
The plate too as well.
Yeah, and the plate, and says, I'm gonna make some people turn their heads.
Yeah.
My goodness, he certainly has done so. Let's get down to it, talking about the game, and of course, being there in the capacity as a reporter. Your observations for that first half, what do you think?
Well, man, it was really kind of I think a stunning turn of events for a lot of people. I think nobody at Florida State, certainly not any Florida State fans, ever expected to be down 21-3. And I think all but the most intense and maybe a touch out of touch Auburn fans had to be surprised. I think Auburn felt confident going into the game, but I think if you had told them 21-3 that they would be they would be a little bit surprised. But As well as I thought Auburn played in that first half, and as really poorly as I thought Florida State got out of the gate, that 21-3, it's a little bit misleading in that Auburn's first touchdown was caused as the result of the punts that swung the game. Auburn's punt that landed it right around the 1 yard line for Florida State, and then Florida State's subsequent bad punt that Auburn returned. They only had to go 25 yards to get that first touchdown.
Yeah.
And then later, after Jameis Winston fumbled, they only had to go 27 yards to get their second touchdown. And so not to say that Auburn doesn't deserve credit for making those plays, but I didn't feel like they were just at least offensively, they weren't coming out and just blowing the doors off of Florida State. That FSU's problem was their offense.
Yeah.
Couldn't get going in that first half. And you know, that was a little certainly disconcerting for Florida State fans. You know, I thought, you know, Jameis certainly didn't look like himself at all. He was missing open throws, you know, throwing them too high.
And
is
that game day jitters? Is that the pressure? Is that the
what is that? I can only assume so. You know, I think so many of, if you want to talk Florida State schedule, and I thought that, you know, that the idea that they hadn't played anybody was overblown. But from a mental standpoint, you know, even when they were down to Boston College in the first half there, I don't know that anybody on that sideline or really anybody that follows Florida State ever seriously considered the notion that Florida State could lose this game. They're going to find a way. They'll do it. Down 21-3 to Auburn, or even down, you know, 7-3 or 14-3, you know, I think there are plenty of people at FSU and in the stadium that night who were saying, you know, they could lose this game.
Yeah.
You know, this team's good enough that they'll to step on their throat, so to speak, if they keep fooling around.
Well, and Auburn had done that twice before, sure. Again, in sort of fluke situations. But now you're starting to think, well, maybe those weren't quite such the fluke that we thought they were. But here again, you point out.
Might actually be a good team.
Yeah.
No.
But the ball was certainly bouncing in their favor.
Oh, it literally was. I think they had three separate instances where they couldn't handle a punt or you know, fumble the ball, and it bounces right up into their players' hands. Well, you know, you make your own luck or what have you. But, I mean, those are plays that kind of could have gone the other way.
Sure.
But you know, it was certainly a slap in the face to Florida State in their season to be trailing by that much. You know, they said that no team had ever trailed at halftime of a BCS championship game and come back to win.
Yeah.
The team leading at halftime was 14-0 going into to Monday night.
And so, the fact is, the win eventually did occur for Florida State.
It did indeed,
based on one man's performance. Would you agree?
I don't know. I have to think about that. I think the biggest thing, the most overlooked thing about the way they came back was Florida State's defense holding Auburn to one touchdown in the second half. And even that was a touchdown. You know, they held them for 28 and a half minutes, essentially, in the second half without scoring. And what that did was just allow, you know, Florida State's offense time to get back in the rhythm, you know, find itself, get going offensively. And make things happen, because you know we sort of said in the press box that night, you know, when they were down 21-3, Florida State got the ball, and they're you know, getting ready to punt. They had the fake punt, which kind of, you know, certainly was a big momentum swinger. They go down and score. You say, okay, well, Florida State's made it 21-10. They get the ball in the third quarter. If they come out and score in the first drive of the third quarter, they'll be in business. Well, they got the ball, and then they didn't do that. You know, so what happens if you go three and out or whatever they did? They ended up punting. If Auburn goes down and makes it 28-10, well, now it's the middle of the third quarter, and you're right back where you were.
Talking with Tim Linnefeld here, sports editor for Tallahassee Talks, with this expanded edition of the Linnefeld Sports Report, talking Florida State football, a BCS national championship, and you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Truck and Car Concepts has the perfect gift for your holiday shopping, with plenty of low prices to fit every budget. A complete detailing package, bumper-to-bumper cleaning, only $99.95 most cars. A drop-in bedliner package with bed caps, front cap, and tailgate cap, only $299.95. Plus, extra savings on window tinting, toolboxes, spray-on bedliners, and keyless entry systems. And gift certificates are available. Santa got his new ride at Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with Tim Linnefeld here. If you've just joined us, we are in review of the BCS National Championship game, Florida State, Auburn. Coming out at the half, they're down 21-3. Auburn just having their way with the Seminoles, and as you point out, perhaps a little bit surprised themselves. Certainly a lot of us were. But then things started to come around, and would you say that one of the most at that point, bring us into your world, where are you at the half?
At the half, I'm thinking, you know, they've got some serious work to do. You know, they had a big positive by getting that touchdown before halftime, but then, like I said, you know, I thought the most important thing for Florida State to do was to get a touchdown early in the third quarter and put some pressure back on Auburn. Well, and offensively, they just couldn't do it. It took them a long time to really get going. You know, they were able to get a field goal and cut it to 21-13, which is at least a one score game if you get the 2-point conversion. But they, you know, at 21-13, the game still didn't feel very close. You know, so at that point, you know, you're thinking to yourself. My thought was Florida State's defense isn't going to be able to sustain this. I thought at that point Auburn had another 2 touchdowns in them.
Because they're predominantly a running offense, and that chews up the clock.
And you don't want to be down multiple scores to a running team in the second half because you're just going to run out of time.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, the performance of the defense to, one, keep Auburn off the scoreboard, and two, keep those drives short to preserve as much clock as possible for Jamison company, really was one of the maybe the underrated storylines of that second half. And then, you know, you had the P.J. Williams, your defensive MVP, with the interception early in the fourth quarter that allowed Florida State to go down and get the touchdown that could have been the game-tying touchdown had it not been for a personal foul.
Which everybody had to stop and go.
I'm still not sure. You know, I mean, I didn't see live what happened, and then I saw video, and it looked like they got him for, you know, pointing at Auburn's bench or something like that.
He was baiting them. He was waving at them and taunting the team.
Which is fine.
But he's doing that, you know, right in front of one of the officials.
Yeah, but I that's fine. I think, you know, if you watch enough football games, you see that sort of thing happen a lot. And
then again, we had a horse collar that didn't get called.
Yeah, there was.
And you had a face mask that didn't get called.
Jimbo Fisher after the game said he pulled a hamstring running after the official on the horse collar that didn't get called. And, you know, those things happen. I just thought, you know, I'm certainly not complaining about the officiating. I think they have a really difficult and thankless job, but I thought in that game, in that moment, for a non-contact personal foul, you know, a non-out of bounds or late hit or something, it was just a tough call. And again, at that point, you're thinking, man, if Florida State loses this game, you know, 21 to 20 or something like that, well, obviously it did. There was much more drama in store over the final 10 minutes or so of the game. But at that point, you're thinking, man, this is a huge moment.
I think that was the point at which I left the room. I just got up and walked out into the kitchen saying, I cannot watch this anymore. Yeah, it's killing me.
It was doing wonders for the gastrointestinal systems of the Tallahassee population.
Well, then we get down to that point in the game where it really is getting even more intense, and we're waiting for something to happen, and something happens.
Yeah,
so,
where were you? Well, you know, Auburn went to kick that field goal to make it 24-20 with about 5 minutes or so to go, a little more than 5 minutes to go, and the rules there are that the media can go down to the field with about 5 minutes remaining in the game. And I said, you know, they just scored, so they say between commercial breaks, I'm going to go ahead and head down, so I catch the last 5 minutes. And you know, you go down there, you know, gauge the sideline, try to maybe find something that isn't on TV that maybe you can try to write about. Well, I'm going down. We push the button for the elevator, and obviously there's just a mob of people when I go in this elevator. And I hear an attendant at the stadium say, "Hey guys, the escalator's going to be faster. They have an escalator. You can go down, you know, five stories." Okay, so we go down this escalator, and about midway through, the place just starts going bananas, just going crazy. I have no idea that, you know, on the other side of this wall, Kermit Whitfield has just taken a kickoff return 100 yards, and Florida State has taken the lead. So, you know, we get out there, and all of a sudden I hear, you know, they have TV set up around the stadium. I hear the announcer say, and Florida State takes the lead. And at this point I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm running down the concourse. I'm sprinting. And you know, if any of you have ever seen me, I'm not the best athlete in the world. So I'm sure we all just looked ridiculous. And we finally get down there to
running faster than red lightning.
Oh my gosh! I tell you what, I didn't have as good a form as him either. But so we finally get down there. I'm like, what in the world has happened? And I see a replay up on the Jumbotron. I was like, you've got to be kidding me! And at this point, you know, I'm thinking to myself, oh, the play of the game, the play that's going to win Florida State the national championship, and I didn't even see it.
And you were in the escalator.
I didn't even see it. So that was a distressing moment for me, Brian.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
But thankfully for me,
that's worse than Jim Winston throwing an interception.
Oh my gosh! It was not a good feeling.
But
fortunately for me, there was much more drama in store, more than we had any realization. And certainly by now, people, you know, sort of know what happens next. But you know, I was in the airport the other day, and I struck up a conversation with some Auburn fans that were trying to get home. We were all trying to get home. Travel this week was just a disaster with the weather and flight cancellations and all that. And you know, they were really, really nice, a little bit older. And they said that, you know, they really couldn't complain about the outcome of the game. It was just such a well-played game, or at least a well-played second half. And so many teams made so many big plays. And the what I said to them and kind of my overall takeaway from this game was sort of, you know, had this game ended on any of those plays, had Kermit Whitfield's kick return decided the game, you know, we could call it a classic.
Yeah.
Had Trey Mason, the Auburn running back, had his touchdown run, the 37-yarder, which was a really, really impressive piece of running,
yeah,
you know, through the defense to score with, you know, a minute and change to go. Had that happened, we'd be calling it a classic. And I think most rational Florida State fans, despite their disappointment, would have been able to say, man, we got beat by a great player. Yeah, that guy's a great player.
Yeah.
And we still say it was a classic.
Yeah, yeah.
And then with, you know, a minute and 19 seconds to go and 80 yards of grass between you and a national championship and Jameis Winston, Rashad Greene, and Kelvin Benjamin, you know, those guys.
They went to work.
And they made it happen. And for that to happen, you know, is just really just an incredible piece of sports.
It's the kind of thing you're used to seeing at a professional level.
Sure.
Where you've got a 2-minute drill.
Well, and you know, that's what Jameis said after the game. I thought was, you know, it's almost cliche, but I think he believes it to the point where it offers an interesting look into his mindset, into the mindset of those types of athletes. You know, he said, that's where I wanted to be. He said, that's what the Drew Brees and the Peyton Mannings and the Cam Newtons and the Tom Brady's, sorry, I was forgetting the fourth one. That's what that's what those guys do in those situations. Yeah. That's what they want to do. You know, he said, it's easy to go out and lead a 2-minute drive.
Right.
When you're up 50-0,
right?
You know, to be great, you got to do it in that situation. Yeah. And I think that's such a, you know, it's an obvious mindset, but I don't think that many people have it, and that they have the mindset and the ability to actually make it happen. Yeah. And to see that, you know, it kind of what I wrote from that night is, you know, the first three quarters, Jameis looked as bad as he had all year, but you know, what matters is what a minute and a half to go, national championship on the line. This is where you show what you're made of. And I think he kind of confirmed what everybody here has known about him the entire season, which is, you know, when the lights are on, when the pressure's on, when you got to have it, you know, there might not be anybody, you know, better in the country that you want to have in the huddle.
Yeah. Sports editor Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report here with a special edition.
You're in tune
with Sports Retort. Yeah. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with us. Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard you're out on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with Tim Linnefelt, sports editor for Osceola, and our very own Linnefelt Sports Report. Glad that you've made it back safely after a rather lengthy ordeal trying to get through.
I
can hear it in your voice.
Yeah,
you're spent. That's okay. We're glad to get what's left of you.
Somebody has to,
you know. And at that point, we'll segue into what happened after the final catch of the game. Florida State wins the BCS National Championship. Mm-hmm. Where are you at this point? You're down on the field.
Yeah, you know, it was funny.
Finally.
I'm off
the escalator.
And able to see what happens. So that was good.
You did see the final play.
I did indeed. Well, you know, the funny thing about that, you know, they ran that sort of trick play designed to get the ball to Mason's hands. And I'm down, you know, kind of in the corner of the end zone looking long ways down at the field. So, my, you know, it's kind of hard to have your depth perception there.
Yeah.
I see him get the ball. I see a whole lot of space in front of him, and I was like, oh man, this could be a problem. And of course it wasn't, and they made the tackle and brought him down. And when I got to see the TV replay later on, I said he didn't really get all that far, maybe the 35 or 40 or what have you.
Yeah.
But from where I could see, not being able to see yard lines, I was like, oh man, this is
we're not
this,
through
this,
yet.
This is going to be unbelievable. And after that, man, it was pandemonium. Just the floodgates sort of poured onto the field. They're wheeling stuff out. ESPN cameramen are, you know, barreling through, and you got confetti and trophies and
interesting moment too, where Jameis is searching the crowd, and the next shot you see of him, he is in the arms of his mentor, Coach Craig.
Damian. And you know, that was
that's quite a story there, isn't it?
It is, and that was one of the storylines leading up to the game, was the relationship with Jameis and Damian Craig. And they're both from Alabama. Damian, I think,
a real mentor for him.
Sure. And, you know, Damian's kind of a legend in the state of Alabama. Both he's, you know, from Mobile and played at Auburn, and just one of those, like, you know, it was like a legendary high school athlete who played his college ball there and now you know, coach at Auburn. And so for an Alabama kid, you know, like Jameis Winston, I mean, it's easy to see the attraction there. So, you know, I thought that was a you know, pretty neat thing. And Jameis said the whole time how much he loved Damian and how sort of distraught he was after last season when Damian left Florida State to go back to Auburn. He was really kind of brutally honest about that and said, you know, it was really hard on me.
But
after the game, you know, like, he kind of did the whole thing, and then you made your way to the locker room. And one of the most interesting things to me was just trying to watch how each player kind of dealt with it. You know what I mean? Yeah, a lot of them, you know, were standing and cheering and hugging and all that. And every once in a while, you know, I'd see one who was just sort of sitting in his chair, like you and me are sitting here right now, just sitting and just sort of staring into the ground or staring into space or whatever. And one, I went up to him and I said, you know, hey man, you know, what's going through your mind right now? And he said, like, he was just dazed. He was stunned. You know what I mean? He's like, some of those guys are just the disbelief that, you know, you couldn't do it. They're not that they did do it. You know, after, you know, some of these guys, and then I wrote about this earlier this week, is, you know, some of those guys on this team have been through an awful lot to get here. Some of the guys that, you know, were here for the end of the Bobby Bowden era. And kind of went through oversaw the transition from Coach Bowden to Coach Fisher and so on and so forth. Man, they've been through a lot of turmoil in this program.
Right.
And so, you know, I think some of them were just sort of like, man, this is what it feels like, you know. And I thought that was a really interesting thing. And then, you know, we had some other players in the locker room. Timmy Jernigan, the defensive tackle, especially, somebody asked him about, you know, the idea of being battle tested in the fourth quarter. And you know, one thing I thought that was really interesting, that, you know, we made so much out of that storyline of Florida State never having played a close game or a tough game and all that. And, you know, the players really took exception to that. And I don't necessarily blame them for it. You know, their attitude was like, look, man, you know, football is tough. It's hard to play. You know, it's hard to play. You know, this is, and practice is tough. Injuries are tough. You know, getting through a football season is a hard thing to do. And from their perspective, and, you know, we can agree or disagree or you know, compare, but, you know, from their perspective, like, none of this came easy. Are you kidding? Like, you know, this is hard. It's hard to go 14-0, no matter who you play. It's only been done 5 times in history. And so I thought that was really really interesting to hear their perspective. You know. You know,
we forget the fact that we're talking about young men who themselves are students. Hello. So they're carrying a course load and all that goes along with being a student, maintaining themselves off the field. And they have this rigorous, demanding schedule of practice and their own personal health and, if, you know, and you know, weight training and everything else that goes into it and proper nutrition. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, and that's what one player said to me after the game. And he said, you know, people don't know, they really don't, what it takes to get to this point. And, you know, and I understand college athletics, you know, we can debate, you know, whether it's a worthwhile endeavor. And certainly, you know, college football, college sports has its problems. But you can't deny that the players and the coaches, I mean, they put in
a lot of themselves to
get here. And, you know, they certainly, you know, take exception to the idea that any of it came easily, you know, and I think there's something to that.
What do you make of Coach Fisher's decision to re-up, to sign his 5-year extension? Some were, you know, obviously were looking at, well, maybe he'll end up at Texas. That didn't happen. I think you're one of the folks that thought he would not make that move. And I was with you on that one. I think he's got roots that run pretty deep here in the Southeast, and in particular here in Tallahassee with his family and Kids First Foundation and all the rest of it. I didn't see him wanting to uproot anything. He's got a great relationship with his star quarterback.
I certainly don't think he would go anywhere as long as Jameis was here. And Jameis will be here another year, and I guarantee you, you know, a year from now, the same kind of things will come up. Because, you know, college football is a weird deal, and that these contracts, you know, unfortunately, I don't think they mean very, very much in terms of keeping somebody somewhere. That's why you have these buyout clauses that if either side nixes the contract, they have to pay all this money. Well, there's so much money in college football now that it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he's going to be one of the top 10 highest paid.
Sure. I think he's number 9 now. And you know, from now on, you know, he's going to be a guy that anytime, you know, a big job comes open, he's going to be linked to it. And I think it's a matter of time before we start seeing him linked to NFL jobs on a regular basis. It's starting to come a little bit, but I think, you know, especially if they have success next year, you know, NFL jobs come, you know, multiple NFL jobs come open every single year. And, you know, I think he might get some looks there. So, you know, it was definitely an encouraging sign for Florida State and Jimbo Fisher that deal got done. I think it's a good, you know, contract after kind of pouring through it a little bit. I think it's a contract that's fair for both sides. But that, you know, it's, I don't know, I just personally have a hard time investing anything into the belief that a coach is going to be anywhere for a long time, just because the business is so fluid. Mm-hmm. It's so...
So you don't think he'll do what Bowden did and kind of hang on to the last?
I don't think anybody will. I think the days of a coach being in one place for 35 years and coaching until they're 75 or 80 years old,
it's big business.
I think that's done.
Yeah. Folks, this is the way we like to do things here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you a little bit more conversation and a little bit more insight into the story behind the story. Tim, you've done such a great job for us all through the year. By the way, Happy New Year. I'm glad that you got to celebrate it in the finest of manners, and that you were out there in Pasadena doing your business and representing us, I think, too,
at the
same time. Yeah. And, folks, that's what we have here with Tim Linnefelt today. The Linnefelt Sports Report is a regular edition or a regular feature of Tallahassee Talks. And with this special edition, we've had the opportunity to learn more about the big game and about Florida State football. Tim, thanks for being with us.
Anytime, Brian. Thank you.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have a wonderful opportunity in this hour to enjoy the music, the inspiration, the dedication, the perspiration, the avocation, the professionalization of Drew Tillman. Drew, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing, Ryan?
we have this gentleman with us for the full hour of Tallahassee Talks here. So if you've stayed with us, God bless you, because you're about to be rewarded. This is a guy who, for his part, has contributed sizably, in my humble opinion, to the music scene in Tallahassee and beyond, and is nationally recognized. Right here in our little old town of Tallahassee, here's Drew Tillman, just making it happen for all of us. And so many of you know his music quite well. Those of you who are just getting to know Drew and his music, man, you're in the right place at the right time, and we're glad you've joined us. Glad to have you in the studio, sir. You're looking fine and fiddle in this new year.
Hard to believe you're actually 78 years old. No, I'm just, right. Yes, I know on certain mornings it can
certain
feel
mornings
that
I'm definitely
way.
78.
But I think we'll say that you're safely on this side of 50. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Let's
yeah,
do
that's
that.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. So you got a lot to share with us here in this hour, and we're going to hear Drew's music. We're going to hear about some of his tales and travels, and among other things, you're a family guy, and you have a wonderful family. Amelia, his wife, is involved in the music scene as a promoter and has done a lot in that area and is doing a whole lot more. And then his daughter, Amarina, and what a beautiful name that is. He has twins, Amarina and Dylan. They're both his 12-year-old kids, and for their part, Amarina, if I recall correctly, is a national finalist in the History Fair competition.
She wasn't the History Fair. She was in the. She submitted her History Fair project to the National Holocaust Museum.
Ah, that's what it was.
And she was the only person this past year that was accepted as a permanent archive in the National Holocaust Museum, which is a very rare opportunity and
marvelous
for something to happen like this. We did not expect it.
Wow.
She
very cool.
But she did, in the History Fair project itself, she made it to the county finals.
I see.
And did not move on.
I see.
But she didn't give up.
And the topic was the Holocaust.
The Holocaust, that's correct. Yeah. And she interviewed her grandfather, Amelia's dad, about he was one of the liberators of the of a camp, two camps, actually.
Wow.
And his tales are just, it was amazing. And then, but they did the unusual thing of accepting the interview as a historic document. But they accepted the entire History Fair project.
I see.
Because you could only have, the interview was only 3 minutes long.
I got you.
There's criteria for the History Fair
project. So here you have this young lady providing this project and being recognized nationally. And then you have your son, Dylan, who is an aspiring baseball player. And I understand that you're a coach.
I am.
So in addition to everything else you're doing, you're a baseball coach.
I am.
So, folks, I mean, if you thought that Drew was kind of cloistered away somewhere in his closet, you know, writing songs, guess what? This guy's out there taking care of all kinds of people, and so good of you to join us today to share with us. Let's talk a little bit about your music. Now, I know you originally from Pittsburgh.
And then
schooled at Florida State University.
That's right.
And studied guitar there.
I did.
Right?
Classical guitar with Bruce Holzman. Great teacher. Great teacher. And I studied with him for a couple years. And then I started playing music and sold a song and co-wrote a song with John Kurtzweig, who's now a producer. He produced all the Creed records and things.
Yeah.
And we co-wrote a song called Dance Again, and it did very well for a small town guy. It did well, and I felt it gave me a lot of confidence to continue to write and to perform.
Yeah.
That's main when we co-wrote that song. And of course, writing I've continued to do all these years.
And performing, I think I have seen you at more of the local festivals than any other artist. I mean, it seems like anytime I'm out somewhere, Drew Tillman is going to be up there at some point sharing his music. So it seems to me you're really appreciated in Tallahassee. It seems like the people really like your music. And I'll watch the crowd too. I mean, people just really, really get into your songs. And if you're not familiar with the music, we're going to have an opportunity here in the hour to sample some of this music that you've brought us We're going to talk about that a little bit. Where do you go? I mean, this is a stupid question. It's a very sort of mundane, I guess, or common question. But where do you go for inspiration? What moves you to write, or do you make it your
Walmart,
business?
Walmart at 2 a.m.
Yeah, right. Hanging out, looking for the next opportunity.
You meet the best the best songs you can write. I write from many different sources, mainly questions in my heart. One of the songs on the CD, called "The Great Unknown," is one of those songs that came all at once.
Okay, let's listen to that. "The Great Unknown."
Unknown.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
We're back here with Drew Tillman talking about his music and the life that he lives as a Tallahassean, a native of Pittsburgh, a student at Florida State University, but now all these many years you have produced a sizable career for yourself. Great family guy, two kids that are just knocking it out of the park. No baseball references there intended. And then you've got Amelia, who, for her part, how does she work with you in the music that you do? She's involved in promotion and booking and that sort of thing.
Well, she's a musician. She plays a different kind of music than
I see.
Me. She plays in the Tallahassee Winds. She's a tuba. A tubaist, is that right?
Right, I think that'll work. A tubist?
Tubist, that's right. So,
she's a brass musician.
But she has a great love for music and understands how the business works. And since she books with a lot of different artists, she really cares. You know, and understands what it is from both the business side and the music side.
And she's involved in handling your bookings. Do you play a lot around the country, or how does that work in with your family life? Are you on tour?
I do. I play out of town, but usually the most I'll go is 3 days or 2 days.
I see.
Out of town.
So before we do anything else, we're going to take the moment to listen to another one of your songs. This is called Woman Like You. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's the first song I wrote for my wife, and she said, I've waited a number of years for you to write this song.
About time.
So, and it has given me a great amount of work and put me in festivals, songwriting festivals. It also, there was a contest called Scott Pilgrim Versus the World, and she submitted and then forgot that she submitted that song, song, to the committee that was doing this. And a week before the contest was over, she said, "Oh, you know, I entered you into the Scott Pilgrim Versus the World," and so we started watching and. Only the top 100 would show up, and I went from 100 to 50 to 25, and I'm watching this over a week time. In the last 3 days, I went from 25th, and I ended up placing 9th in the world.
Wow, that is so cool.
With this song,
let's listen.
Stop the mind, veil the heart like a one-way mirror. And the reasons are questions. I question them well. I see the lies, live the lies I tell myself. But even what you see is what you get.
your teeth. But you're out of luck, it's never enough to make it feel at ease. Is it strength or weakness that makes you crazy more and more?
Truck and Car Concepts has the perfect gift for your holiday shopping with plenty of low prices to fit every budget. A complete detailing package, bumper-to-bumper cleaning, only $99.95 most cars. A drop-in bed liner package with bed caps, front cap, and tailgate cap, only $299.95. Plus, extra savings on window tinting, toolboxes, spray-on bed liners, and keyless entry systems. And gift certificates are available. Santa got his new ride at Truck and Car Concepts on Mayhem Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We've got Drew Tillman here on this beautiful Saturday in January. What a great way to start the year with a guy like Drew bringing us what he does. Oh, folks, I mean, we talk a lot about how special it is to live in Tallahassee. Drew, I want to tell you, you're one of the reasons that that is the case. And God bless you for what you have done musically for us as a community and for the world and for your wife. Giving her own song. We've got more music from Drew Tillman here in this half hour, and I'm glad you've decided to stay with us because, man, this is what it's about. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is what Tallahassee's talking about, and we've got this nifty 30A Songwriters Festival coming up January 17th to the 19th. Drew's going to be there. One of the select artists. You don't just kind of show up. You got to be, and you're going to be there with Pierce. Our old buddy Pierce Pettis.
Pierce Pettis.
How cool is that?
Oh, it's a wonderful opportunity. And Pierce said, yeah, let's do it. And I contacted him. We talk. And he he said, yeah, let's do a show together. So one of the nights we're...
Isn't that neat?
Booked together. It'll be a wonderful time. And I can tease him and talk about his songwriting. You know, he wrote You Move Me that Garth Brooks covered.
Yeah.
And that song, I remember when he wrote it.
Huh.
And it was, I knew immediately. Because it moved me.
Hit the sweet spot there.
It sure did in my heart. So, and he encouraged me.
It's remarkable how music works that way to bring us awareness, to bring us into a place of greater, sensitivity or understanding or whatever. It's a spiritual language, isn't it?
It is spiritual, and there is a connection for people to, how to say it, if you speak from your heart through your songs, not all songs are joke songs, or that then somebody comes and says, you know, I'm not alone in the world. I've felt this way. Mm. I can relate to this. Because you create this world in this song.
Yeah.
And then the audience responds to that. And that's what the 38th Songwriting Festival is all about.
And this is now, how long have they been doing this?
This is the fifth year.
Yeah. And you've been there 4 out of 5. Well, this will be your fourth appearance.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's correct. And
it's a big deal, isn't it?
It is. It's a great honor to go and rub elbows with the best writers in the world.
Yeah.
And they know what it is to write these songs. They watch the stars play. You would not know them as a connection to their songs, but you certainly know the stars that do them.
Yeah.
And some of them are, like Pierce is a signed writer, and I'm not sure what label he's on, but and he's also has a publishing deal and things where you write. And, so it's a great opportunity and an inspiration to write.
Yeah.
You hear other musical ideas.
I was going to ask you that. You come away from this festival. Does it move you then further in your pursuit of songwriting?
Never fail to write and to be inspired by the music that you hear and the performances you hear and the worlds they create. They come from their hearts and they come from skill, because there is a great deal of skill in writing the music and connection.
It seems as though it's this almost magical way of getting what's inside of us all emotionally or intellectually, and then bringing that out. And you said it is a way for people to see they're not alone. And I'm thinking of this song that we're going to listen to, Cry Yourself a River.
Which is a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke song, but it's also, there's truth in the song. And again, it's one of those songs where instead of taking medicine, it says in the song, cry.
Yeah.
Cry.
Cry yourself a river.
fire fall from nature. A little fly in a Venus tribe. It's sea water planet for lining. But the signs don't tell you where it's at. My past is chasing me to replicate. All the time I stayed in that way. My better sound for the gone quiet deliver. I said cry, cry, cry yourself a river. Ah, yeah. A river.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday, 93.3 FM, our home station, Freedom 93. Barry Kay and company, all of those good folks keeping us straight and narrow and on track, and Carl the magic man over there in the studio. Carl is the is our wonder boy. He just takes these ramblings that I put in front of him and somehow turns this all into a very fine radio show, which, by the way, if you've missed any of our segments, be sure to go to the website TallahasseeTalks.com. Everything is archived there. Again, King Cabba makes that all come together for you. If you got a topic, you want to email us topics@TallahasseeTalks.com, a guest or something you'd like us to consider
happy to do so. Be sure to check out our Facebook page, too, where you'll learn more about our dear friend, Drew Tillman, who's been with us in the hour. Heading off to South Walton. Where is South Walton? I guess it's near Panama City.
It's in between Destin and Panama City.
Right in
closer
there.
Closer to Destin.
Kind of the seaside area. And right, yeah.
That's central.
One of the ugliest beaches in the world, from what I understand. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Squint your eyes.
Oh, my goodness. Like gee, what a shame that you have to spend the weekend.
Somebody has to
over
do
there,
it.
Yeah. Right. Good for you. Take one for the team.
Yeah.
Talking about the way in which music has moved us through the years, and think about all the songs that just, you know, and all of us have them, that are just so important to us and help define a period of time in our lives, or maybe an experience we've had or a relationship that we've had. Your music does that. And there's it seems to me in your music, a lot of what we would think of as blues or bluesy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. How is it that your music incorporates so much of that, do you think? Here you're classically trained as a guitarist,
yeah.
But then you've got this sort of soulful approach to life, it seems.
Music has always been a learning experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is a learning. I go back and my words and music will come back and haunt me later, because I'll get into a situation where I'm doing something wrong.
And in that regard,
and it tells me, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
You wrote this?
Right. And you found that even in your own personal life, being addicted to drugs or alcohol.
It was a horrible time in my life.
Yeah.
It was horrible. I had many close friends that did not make it through the experience. It's no respecter of persons, alcohol and drugs. And I cried out for help. And this song called The Addict, I wrote probably when I was 3 days sober, and I sat in a chair and cried for several days. Never left that chair, not understanding why I was alive. And so many of my friends didn't make it. That experience centered me on moving forward in my life. And
you were a songwriter at the time. I mean, you were...
I was.
A musician and...
I was, and I was caught up in the whole be a rock star, do drugs, and all those things that you see everyone else do, and it looks so beautiful up, you know, on the face of it, and then you get down to it, it was... It wasn't beautiful.
And that's been many years ago. You've been sober since.
I have.
One day at a time, baby.
One day at a time. That's correct. And, you know, that's something that I always live with it, because it's a deadly disease and there's no cure.
Yeah.
The only cure is a spiritual way of life.
Yep.
Whatever you choose that to be.
And as a spiritual man, you seems to me have a great deal to say about how your personal walk with God and your personal relationship with Christ has brought you to some pretty stellar things. I mean, a fantastic family and kids that are doing well, and you're here and you're writing songs. And
I make more mistakes than most, and I struggle with the truth more than most will realize. Mm. It's never easy to meet the truth in God as I understand him. And so it's a humbling, the most I can do is cry out, Lord, have mercy.
Mm. Well, folks, that's the show today. Drew Tillman, composer, musician, writer, performer. He's going to be at 30A Songwriters Festival in South Walton here January 17th to the 19th. We're going to close the show today by having you do something for us here live. This is a song called The Addict, appropriately enough. And, Drew, I want to thank you for making it your business to be a part of our show today.
Brian, thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to being here again, maybe.
We'd love to have you back anytime.
But thank you so much for everything you've done. For
anytime,
music,
brother.
And for Tallahassee.
We're grateful. Folks, Drew Tillman, The Addict.
Good times that seem to scare me, bad times seem to wait. Every time I use you, my mind's laid to waste. Nothing you didn't give me, nothing I couldn't see. Better part of living is broke with misery. Now there's shadows down inside me, and I got a shining road. Those dreams you used to give me, yet I poured them down my throat. The smiles you used to give me, walks we used to take. And the eagle gave me freedom, and the lion gave me strength. But it's good now, baby, so long, and I ain't standing in your rain. I just about drowned, and drowning made me see. There's times I was the eagle, times I felt like prey. Times you gave me freedom, there's times I couldn't say. But the rust is in the gutter, and the gutter's all your fed. And for all you got of people, well, the money's in your head. And don't you talk needy when you're driven to your knees. Christmas happens every day, the needle on your tree. But it's a good life, baby, so long, and I ain't standing in your rain. I just about drowned, and drowning made me see. Times that was the eagle, and all the dreams you gave me, and I seem to lost my way. And the eagle's not soaring now, and the lion wants to eat, or at least he wants me to pay. And I'm begging for it, I'm begging for it, 'cause I don't want the pain. Superman's in the movies, and the rescues make believe. But it's goodbye, baby, so long, and I ain't standing in your rain. But I just about drowned, and drowning made me see. Yeah, it's goodbye, baby, so long, and I ain't standing in your rain. About drowning, drowning made me see. Good times that seem to scare me, bad times seem to wait. And every time I use you, my mind is laid.